right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday to you. It is Gwen and Chris kicking off another week here on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's number one sports talk station. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Out at Coors Field in Denver, still one of the most beautiful ballparks in Major League Baseball. Padres will begin a four-game set against the Rockies tonight. Mr. Scraby is alongside here at the Odyssey Palace Studios as we get set for a short get-together today. We'll be on till about 4:30, and then Sammy Leavitt will take over with his Padre pregame show. Then it's Padres and Rockies after that. And but, you know, look, we're happy to be with you. We got a good show. Drew Goodman, the voice of the Rockies, one of the best in the business, I think. He will catch us up on Colorado and what the Padres can expect. But Tony Gwynn Jr., home was very, very good to the NBA and NHL playoff teams. Don't know if you guys saw this. 14 playoff games Saturday and Sunday in the NBA and the NHL. The home team won all 14 games. Home is also where charity begins. And in that regard, want to thank the Toronto Blue Jays for kicking around a game yesterday.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
I didn't either. It was a long stretch. It was a long stretch. And I don't even know if it was I don't even know if I made it. But as they say, charity begins at home. I thought the Blue Jays played a less than stellar game yesterday after the Padres played a couple of games that were less than great. And the Padres took advantage of three bases loaded walks, an error, and a sacrifice fly? Or no, a catcher's interference, even worse. Yeah. Catcher's interference. So Toronto certainly aided the Padres' cause yesterday. But nonetheless, some good at-bats there with the bases loaded, not trying to do too much, being able to take your walk, keep the line moving. And Xander Bogaerts, hello, with a home run and a couple of RBIs. Padres salvaged the final game yesterday, and that is a whole lot better, Tony, than being swept.
Indeed it is. Get it how you can. The Padres certainly, you know, that series, I said this at the end of the game yesterday, that series was really determined by the other team giving the other team extra outs or extra runs. It was the Padres the first two games that, you know, put them in position, and by them I mean the Blue Jays, to have those two wins. And then the Toronto, you know, returned the favor. You know, prior to that series, the Blue Jays had been a team that struggled to score runs early. They perhaps had that, you know, fixed because the Padres didn't play their best defense in those early innings of the first two games. And then in the third game, Toronto certainly returned a favor. And so you get it how you can. The Padres wanted to, you know, try to get at least one before heading out on the road, avoiding the sweep. They already checked the box of their first three-game losing streak, so they avoid a fourth. And, you know, now the Padres have to focus in on a place where, you know, contrary to belief, because it doesn't feel this way, but the Padres are 15-6 in their last 21 against the Rockies. And so coming in here and taking care of business, I think, would go a long way to kind of getting things back on. I think the thing that we should note, the Padres, from the time they went to L.A. to Milwaukee, that week of baseball played a much cleaner, better brand offensively of baseball, right? The previous week, before they went to L.A., looked a lot like the series against the Blue Jays, where they weren't clean, they left some opportunities out there. And so, you know, it goes to the old adage, you take it week by week. In one week, they were okay with some things to clean up. The second week, they were pretty excellent. And then, you know, this beginning of this next little stretch of baseball, they haven't played that well, and they haven't played as good as they can. So they got to get back to that.
Yeah, I want to play well. And if you play well, I think one thing that you'll get here over the next 4 days against a Colorado team that, I mean, we could go on and on about some of the reasons why they're doing so poorly, and we'll mention them. But I think for the first time, maybe the Padres can relax and feel like they've got at least a little room for error. Doesn't mean you want to kick the ball around, but you don't have to play perfect to beat the Rockies. Just go out there, do your thing. They should help you a little bit the way they're playing right now. And hopefully the Padres can get themselves a much-needed series. There was one thing I really liked over the weekend, Tony. It's a couple things. Musgrove, you know, getting back into form a little bit yesterday, et cetera.
Sure.
I thought Vasquez pitched well in his Padre debut, was let down a little bit by his defense. But my favorite thing that happened over the weekend was Jerks and Profar getting kicked out of the game. And I think it was Saturday night. And the reason that was my favorite thing is because Mike Schilt came out and he got kicked out of the game. And Tony, I'll let you speak on this. We want our manager, always want to feel like our manager is sticking up and has our back no matter what. And I thought, you know, Mike Schilt, the first time he's been kicked out of a game this year, I thought he picked the right time to do it. I think he sends the right message to his guys, and he tells everybody else, if you're gonna, you know, pick on one of my guys or treat them in a certain way, you're gonna have to deal with me as well. And I think that that's gonna last going forward. I do.
Yeah, no, I think you probably are right, and that was a good representation of a manager that, you know, felt like in that moment his player had been, you know, unjustly ejected.
Right.
You know, typically when a guy slams his helmet, and by the way, it was a restrained slam. He didn't like wind up and like pile drive the bat and helmet. He started to, and then he kind of caught himself and it was like a slow slam. But
yeah,
nonetheless, though, usually the worst thing that happens is you get an equipment violation. He actually got one. After he slammed the bat, he got an equipment violation. And typically what happens after that, the umpire then will turn and walk away. You know, so whatever happens, unless there are actual words said, typically they don't see it because they've already started to walk away. In this case, it almost looked like Ramon De Jesus was, you know, staying in there to see if he was going to then slam his helmet. And when he did, he threw him out. I think the reaction for everybody after was like, I can't believe you just threw him out over, you know, those two infractions. And then, you know, the thing that bugged me about it is, you know, the crew chief comes in, Adrian Johnson comes in, and it looks like he is trying to defuse the situation at that point. You know, he's explaining to whatever, you know, whatever happened, whatever the back and forth between him and Jerickson were having was fine. At some point, whatever he was saying to Jerickson wasn't good enough in that moment. And instead of just, you know, allowing Jackson to keep it, or Jerickson to go around him and say his last little piece, whatever was said, he took offense to it. And then after that was over, him and Schilt, that's where you saw Schilt really kind of explode, was when he's going off on Adrian before he walked in there. And so, I don't know, it wasn't so much that Ramon De Jesus was wrong, because if you look at the pitch, it looked like it caught the corner. It was just the overreaction to the helmet throw, the overreaction to the bat slam, and then it just seemed like it, instead of de-escalating, it got escalated even further. But I'd love to see Mike Schilt. I that didn't surprise me. I knew when you saw his demeanor when he got out there at the very beginning, it's like, oh yeah, he's yep, about to get rung for sure.
Right, but he's going to make a point that I'm going to, yep, protect my players no matter what. That goes a long way. And I think most players feel like their managers protect them, but if you don't get out there and protect your player right there, you know, that might leave them the wrong message, even though you don't mean to.
I have two questions. First, what do the player and manager do when they get ejected? Do they go watch the game in the back? Do they?
Well, we know that Mike Schilt went and watched the game in the back, because the next day in the paper he said that he didn't realize Don Orsillo and Mark Grant did such a good job calling the games on TV.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I ran into Don Orsillo yesterday and I said, hey, Don, I read in the paper today that you're actually a pretty good announcer, according to Mike Schilt. And he said that meant the world to Don Orsillo, by the way.
Well, yeah.
That Mike Schilt had said that.
I'm not going to lie. I was a little disappointed he said that. I was like, why aren't
you
going
there? I'm a little
disappointed
for you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
It's all good,
I'm the biggest Tony and Jesse fan in the world, so it's disappointing for me, too, as a fan.
I don't know where Profar went. Does he go watch the game, too, I guess?
Yeah, for sure.
What else are you going to do?
There ain't nothing else you can do. You can't leave.
The second, it's not really a question, it's a statement. The ball girl saved the game yesterday.
Hey, I said that she kept a run from coming in for first. Now, The problem with that is that it is Fernando down there, so who knows how quickly and, you know, how accurate he's going to be, because he probably is going to be both at a high level. But, you know, you never know. That ball was headed in that corner, and when things get in that corner, it gets dicey.
Yeah. Well, the runner that had to stop at third because of her fielding the ball.
Justin Turner.
He did come in to score in that inning.
So, ball don't lie.
So, as it turned out, Toronto did get that run, so the ball grows a little bit off the hook. I was really impressed with some of the at-bats with the bases loaded, Tony. Campisano got the bases loaded, walked there. Look, you want to drive in three runs when you're up at the plate in those situations. And I think a lot of times pitchers use that against you, your aggressiveness against you, to try and get you out. And so for that reason, I thought those bases loaded walks were a little bit more impressive than people might have thought.
Yeah, I mean, how many times did we see that not happen last year? Like, not only was it not a bases loaded walk, but it was like a 6-4-3 or a 4-6-3 or
a
pop up in the infield somewhere. I think that's kind of what we've seen from the offense when they've been well. And it looks different sometimes, right? Whether it's, you know, putting the ball in play. In this case, not putting it in play, taking your walk and bringing in a run. It seems like they aren't, they're not pressing as much, but more importantly, there's a plan that, and there's a trust. I think Profar said this the other day when we had him, that if they don't get it done, the guy behind them can get it done and will get it done. And I think they believe that. And I think that goes a long way into how everybody conducts their at bat.
Yeah, it was a tough weekend in the, you know, I guess overall, but the Dodgers also had a tough weekend. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Mets. So everything tight in the National League West. Dodgers are 13-11. Padres are 12-12. Arizona's right behind them at 11-12. The Giants are 10-13. And then there's the Rockies, 5-17. How do you approach a series against a bad team, Tony? I know you're probably going to tell me you approach it the exact same way, but you have to know in the back of your head that you're playing a team that's really scuffling.
I think you probably know that in the back of your head, but you can't allow yourself to think it, because naturally then there's a little bit of a letdown. Like, all right, team's not as good. You know, you'll let more things slide that way, and that's why you have to just look at it as if they're an irregular opponent and treat them as such. And then maybe you actually putting up, you know, blowing these guys out as opposed to having close games, you know, allowing because listen, this is a middle of a stretch where Padres don't have any off day. So being able to maybe get some leads, not have to use your high leverage guys, allowing your pitchers to go a little deeper, you know, all that's, you know, depending on how they pitch and what the Padres do. But I just think you got to have a mindset of, you know, you can't afford to go in here thinking, oh, this is the Rockies. They have 4 wins on the season. You got to go in thinking, you know, this team we can be beat at any point. So we better come in eyes dotted, T's crossed.
All right, it'll be a 4-game road trip in Denver. Then the Padres are home for the Phillies next weekend and the Reds at the beginning of next week. We'll talk more about the Rockies with Drew Goodman. But when we come back, as I noted, 14-0, the home teams dominate the first round of NBA and Stanley Cup playoff games. Scottie Scheffler dominating the golfing world. But
who?
Guess what? He's
who?
Not even the best golfer on the planet right now. There's actually somebody doing better than him. Kick around those items, and it's a short show. Stick around. We'll be here till 4:30. Gwen and Chris underway on 97.3 The Fan.
3:20 out here in Denver. 2:20 in San Diego. Gwen and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr. Chris Ello. Match Gravy. We got a big five later on coming your way. Sounds like Scraby's got some
doozies,
some engaging questions.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that.
Cameron Maven, that's all I gotta say.
Cam May, I saw his comments, and matter of fact, as you brought it up, I did see you at, like, somewhere surrounding his comments. So I'm sure this is going to be interesting what you have to say today. How are you going to try to
usually Scraby's what he says is interesting.
Yeah, very much so.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was interesting because I've never seen a player say, hey, I play better when you trash me. I've never seen that. All right, well, we'll talk about
it. Let's not do this. Let's not do this right now.
Okay.
Chris, I'm sorry. You teased a couple different things before we went to break.
Well, a little basketball, Tony, including your guys.
Yeah.
The Lakers. I mean, but they weren't the only ones. Everybody lost on the road. I don't know that that's happened or when the last time that's happened, but game one of all eight playoff series was won by the home team. In seven of the series, the games were rather comfortable wins. Now, the Oklahoma City New Orleans game last night came down to a last shot, and CJ McCollum defended, stepped through, and shot a three to try and win the game. About a 27 footer, and he nearly made it. It would have been an unbelievable shot, but it hit the rim. So Oklahoma City held on. But, you know, here's the thing that I will caution, you know, NBA fans against, is game one is not the series.
Nope.
And I can't tell you, I mean, I'm looking at all the talking heads today throughout sports, and they're all saying, well, the Lakers just can't match up with Denver. They just can't. They've lost to them, you know, 19 games in a row or whatever it is. They cannot match up with Denver, and they have no shot in this series. Totally disagree. D'Angelo Russell missed his first eight threes the other day. He ended up shooting 1-9. They've got to have that. Denver obviously has a lot of confidence against the Lakers, but I wouldn't be surprised if out of the eight series, you see like four or five road teams win game two, because it happens more times than not.
Yeah, I think, you know, those talking heads obviously have the, 0-9 in the last eight playoff games against Denver. This regular season, I think it's 0-11 if you add that in there in their last 11 meetings. So that's in their mind. And I think it's easy to kind of fall into what they looked like last year. I think the difference is although D'Angelo Russell shot poorly, I think he was 6 of 20 from the field in that game, 1 of 9 from 3. The D'Angelo Russell we've seen all season isn't going to have a second game like that, at least in game two. He's shown the ability to bounce back. Now, that being said, they're going to need him to bounce back. They're going to need him to play the way he played towards the second half of the season. That's part of the reason why they didn't trade him, is because they felt like he would be able to do this come playoff time. Well, the time is now, Mr. Russell. They need you more than ever. The Lakers were in that game. They got back in it after it started to get away from them again, but they just didn't have enough. It's either going to be D'Angelo has to play his normal self, or Anthony Davis is going to have to take it to a level that I don't know that we've seen him take it to this point. He played terrific. I thought he matched Joker the best he possibly could, but one of those two things has to happen for the Lakers to win. They either got to get D'Angelo back where he was, or AD's got to play out of his mind.
Well, AD might be a little out of his mind anyway. He did say today that he's ticked off. He said he'll never win the Defensive Player of the Year award in the NBA because they don't like him in that league. But then he went on to say, but I am the best defensive player in the league.
Wait, Anthony Davis said this?
He did. So if I'm Anthony Davis, let's take a little of that anger out on the floor tonight, reject some of those shots, and show, you know, what you can do. I will tell you this, Tony. When he's blocking shots, he is a really good defender. Now, I don't know about...
I don't even think he was a finalist.
He wasn't. He wasn't. That's what he was referring to, that he wasn't even selected. Now, I saw Zion Williamson run circles around him in that play-in game last week, too. So, you know, I don't know. You know, I haven't watched enough of him to where I put him on the all-defense team or not. But I know when he's blocking shots, he can affect a lot of games. And I'd like to see him doing some of that tonight. Get the Lakers out on the break. Get some free points. You know, Denver, we talk about Jokic, you talk about Murray and offense and Porter and all that. But Denver is one of the best defensive teams in the league. That's why they're the champs. And to beat good defensive teams, you need some fast break points. So,
and that's where the Lakers have the advantage. But you got to get stops.
Right.
In order to get up and down the court, they didn't get enough of those in the last game. And, you know, the Denver's, when you watch them, they're kind of a throwback team, right? They want to play slow on offense. They want to run their offense. They want to get it to Jokic, let some people cut off, which is so much different than what we see now. Towards the end of the last 2 minutes of the game, they run the pick and roll as much as anybody else. But for the most part during the, you know, thick, the chunky part of that game. They throw it down and they throw it down low and then let they absorb clock. This is why they don't score high.
Well, it'll be Denver Lakers game two tonight in Denver, where you are, Tony. Oh my goodness, I just made the connection.
Yes.
Whoa. Is there any way that it starts sprinkling at Coors Field after the third inning and you get out of there?
As crazy as this weather has been over the last four days, it looks pretty normal today. But I would like to be able to walk back from this game feeling pretty good going back to the hotel. So.
Yeah, I think Dylan Cease pitches like a 1-hour and 45-minute, you know, shutout, and you get over to the Ball Arena for the fourth quarter, Tony. Get one of your escorts. Don't you have a...
Wait, who?
Well, not an escort in that regard.
Like a security escort?
A security escort. You get your mind out of the gutter.
Hey, it's 2024. We got to clarify.
Clarify. Get yourself some security clearance and get on over to see the fourth quarter of the basketball game. Also tonight, Orlando, Cleveland, Philadelphia, and the Knicks. On the Stanley Cup side, the Kings open up their playoff series in Edmonton. In the meantime, lineups are out for the Colorado Rockies. Haven't seen one yet for the San Diego Padres.
I'm going to go on a limb and say the only change will be Tyler Wade not hitting ninth. That's going to be my guess.
Tyler Wade not hitting ninth.
Yeah, it'll be Eggy Rosario hitting ninth.
Eggy will be
in there today.
You like Eggy?
I do.
I'm glad you like him.
He might like you too, Scrape.
Oh, okay, good. Good. I just like he's got a flair. He's got, you know, he has power. Anytime he steps into the box, he can hit it out. So I like seeing what
he's hit lefties well. He's got six or seven doubles.
Oh, I'm
this
sorry,
year.
E-Guy. E-Guy.
No, E-Guy, yeah. Oh,
that's there you go.
That was from the chat. That was from the chat.
No, he's got to try to get
you
it.
You know who's also
he always is looking to get a shot in, and that's why when Mark Grant comes up to me in the
tell him this.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell him this. When Mark Grant comes up to me in the kitchen area, the cafeteria area up in the press box yesterday, and says, "Chris, you've got to be easier on Scraby."
That's right.
I said, "No, I don't."
I said, "Thank you, bud."
Yeah, but I said, "I don't need to be easier on him because you always look to get a shot in." And you know, I don't think people realize that as much as they should. Nolan Jones comes into tonight's game on an 0-for-23 streak.
I'm well aware.
For the Rockies. And the Rockies come in on a 0-for-5 straight games without a home run. Three of those in Denver. I don't know that that's ever happened for the Rockies.
Somebody went 0-for-what, you said?
Jones is, I think, 0-for-22 or 23.
How about that? Somebody else in the world has gone 0-for-22, huh?
No, I know. We'll probably ease back on the Xander Bogaerts calls today after he homered and drove in a couple yesterday. So we'll see if the Padres can get it going. We'll take a break here. When we come back, Drew Goodman is the voice of the Colorado Rockies, talking about Bud Black and also his former colleague there in Denver, Jenny Kavnar, who's gone on to greatness with the Oakland A's. Some thoughts from Drew Goodman ahead of tonight's series opener on 97.3 The Fan. All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby. San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Before we get too far into this, Scrabe, want to congratulate and thank Anthony out there. Great meeting him and the rest of his family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yesterday out at the ballpark, Anthony was the winner of our 97.3 The Fan sweepstakes.
Biggest fan.
He came out with his entire family. He got the 97.3 The Fan suite yesterday, and we were all there to enjoy the game with Anthony. So it was a lot of fun. It was good meeting him. Really nice bunch of people.
Seriously.
Really enjoyed that. And, that's twice for me in the suite this year because I was there for your Scraby Day in the suite.
Me too.
Padres are now 2-0 in suite games.
Every game I've been to this year, they've won. So I think I need to just keep going. Or we just need to keep going in the suite.
Until further notice. Yeah, not a bad idea.
First off, can you move your camera down a little bit? You can watch us on YouTube if you haven't done so. Search 97.3 The Fan on YouTube. People say it's a lot different. I put out a video about something that happened in the parking garage showing up to the game.
Okay.
And I am being dragged on the internet right now for being a insensitive human being. And the video, you can go to my Twitter, at Matt Scraby, or Instagram. It's a person backing into a space in the MTS lot. And there were three cars around trying to get around this person, but it took them almost 2 minutes, Chris, to get into their spot.
Yeah, they don't care about you.
Exactly.
No,
that's
one of my biggest pet peeves, and I don't know why you're taking grief for this. We've talked about this already, that, you know, you are wasting my time while you back into a parking space.
Yeah.
And I'm a little tired of you wasting my time.
Well, yeah.
If you want to back into a parking space, nobody's around, go right ahead.
Yes.
But if everybody's lined up, waiting to get into the lot,
everybody's filing in for a Padres game.
That's, you know, to me, that's just flat out rude to be backing into a spot. But I'm not surprised people do it. I'm also surprised, but I am surprised that people are being critical of you for mentioning it.
I think a lot of these people are not, they don't know me at all. They just somehow stumbled across the video on YouTube. But I will say this. In the MTS lot, I do understand why it's better to back in, because it's really difficult to get out of that garage once people are trying to leave. So that's something that you need to keep in mind. Oh, wow.
Tony Gwynn Jr., though,
I know,
is a guy that backs in to parking spaces. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
You are there.
Yes.
I am here.
What's going on?
So you probably disagree with our dissertation against awkward parkers.
You know, I will say, especially in the MTS lot, if people were, how should I say this? If people were nicer and let people who do need the back out get out of their spot, you would have less backwards parking. But because no one wants to let anybody out.
Yes, that is a problem.
You got to go have the front side ready to roll. You got to let them know you mean business. Because when you back out, right, you have to do it with caution. And they take advantage of your caution. They just pull up a little bit further. Now you got to wait till that car goes by. The next car does the same thing.
Yeah.
So.
No, you're right.
You got to go forward
in that
case. Just
be nice to each other out there. That's a dream that I will always have that will probably never become a full reality.
And I can back
me and you both.
That's another common misconception about this post. Oh, this is coming from a guy who's just jealous he can't back in. I might be one of the best backer inners in the world. So
I don't believe that at all. I believe that you're definitely not a good backer inner. And so, therefore, that adds to your animosity of the folks that can and do.
Can and do. Okay.
Fine. In other words, you're just a hater when it comes to backing into
the
parking
spot. Well, I think
we
can all agree on that.
Oh, here's a great comment on the YouTube. Got to hide that expired tag, though. Don't be snitching. That's right. You got to put your expired registration to the back so cops don't come by and ticket you.
Yes. That's also a great.
I don't know. Are cops looking for expired tags in the NTS lot during Padre games?
It would be a great place to look, right? I mean, you can't go anywhere. The cars are there. They're all lined up. Not saying that they do or don't. I'm just saying it would be, if they needed to, wouldn't be a bad spot to start.
People want to back up off now. I think we need to make this happen at some point.
Wait, I want to back up off.
Yes,
between you and Tony?
Me, us three.
Us three?
Are you claiming that you're a good backer-upper?
I don't claim that I can back in.
Okay.
Because I don't ever back in.
Claim that I can back in.
Yes, we know you back in.
I'm sure this whole thing started.
This is how it all started many months ago. We have good news and bad news concerning Manny Machado. For you to pass along. I don't know if that's what you wanted to chat about, Tony, before we get to our interview with Drew Goodman. But
I know what you're going to say, so go ahead.
Yeah, the good news for Manny is they're having a baby. So congratulations to Manny Machado on a family edition. I guess the news that goes along with that is that Manny is on the paternity list and is therefore not with the ball club. I'm assuming for this entire trip to Denver. Certainly won't be there tonight. Matthew Batten has been called up to take a spot on the roster. Correct?
Correct. Well,
yeah.
I don't know that it's been announced yet, has it?
It has, yes. That's why
the Padres tweeted it.
Yeah.
Boom. There it is. Well, I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to happen today, but congratulations to the Machados. Or they haven't had the baby yet, or is it just –
Not
he's
sure.
Left for.
It just says
okay.
that infielder Manny Machado has been placed on the paternity list.
Okay, so we're gonna assume that she hasn't had it yet.
Yeah.
Pray for a good, healthy birth.
Healthy,
and,
yes.
And then he can get back when he's ready.
Right.
Anything so the lineup is out. You guys want to hear the lineup?
Sure. Yes, because I don't have it. So let's see.
Let's do it. Xander Bogaerts. Fernando.
What? Xander Bogaerts leading off? What are they thinking?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Cameron Maybe told me I could boo him.
The three that normally are there. Bogaerts, Tatis, Cronenworth. Number four, Jerickson Profar will bat cleanup in tonight's game.
Okay.
That'll be followed by Ha-Sung Kim, Luis Camposano, Eggy, or E-Guy, however you choose. Rosario will bat after Camposano. Merrill, Azokar. So everybody basically slides up a spot, and you insert Azokar.
Yes, Azokar will be, what, in left field, and Profar will be DHing?
Correct. Okay. No, yes, that is correct. Yes.
All right, correct. So Manny is out of the lineup tonight now with the paternity list. All right, the Rockies... the way they're struggling, well, let us list the ways. 5-17, they've lost all seven series they've played. They've been shut out four times. They haven't homered in five games. They've scored three or fewer runs in six of their nine home games. On and on and on it can go. And yet, you know, if you're a Padre fan, you're worried about what's going to happen this week. We caught up with the play-by-play voice of the Rockies, Drew Goodman, to discuss the Rocks. Indeed, Padres and Rockies beginning a four-game set in Denver, Coors Field, and the voice of the Colorado Rockies, Drew Goodman, joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Drew, you know, I mean, look, I think, you know, listening to you, especially early this season on the app and watching some games, I feel for you. You're doing your thing. Team's just not playing anywhere near what I think you think they're capable of doing. How you holding out?
Well, personally, you know, and I'm not giving you a stock answer, and I'm sure you get this being in the business. Tony certainly gets it, you know, from playing and long time in broadcasting. You know, in life, you control what you can control, and we're really fortunate to do what we do. And you know, there are years where you're not going to win a lot of games. Unfortunately, the Rockies are on a stretch where it's been a long time now, since 2018, but I still love going to the ballpark. I still love the art of broadcasting. I love the game of baseball. I'm fortunate, again, to have one of 30 jobs, so I look at it more that way. And, yeah, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say, shoot, I wish we won more right now, and I wish we were playing better out of the gate than we have, but it's still, you know, it's still fun. It could be a lot more fun, but it's still a great gig, and I'm not trying to just be gratuitous in that answer.
Drew, clearly, you know, a lot of things aren't going right for the ball club, but there are a few bright spots. Ezekiel Tovar seems to be kind of stepping, you know, his game up a little bit as a young player in this league. What has he done well so far here in the early going?
I'll tell you what, and I would mention this to you when I hook up with you later. This dude is getting more two-strike hits than virtually anybody I've seen this year, certainly. You know, he gets behind because he swings at everything. He has the highest swing rate in baseball. But he's amazing in that he never gets flustered. He's 22 years of age, and he acts like he's 72. I mean, he's just like, been there, done that, calm, cool, collected. So he gets an upside-down counts a lot, and then all of a sudden he rips the ball to left or to right center. So I've been really impressed with that. He's now hitting toward the top of the lineup. He's in the two-hole tonight. And defensively, he's really good. I mean, he's definitely a building block. He's a winning player. We, you know, as an organization, you know, the Rockies certainly need more guys to compliment him, but he's been terrific.
Rockies are indeed off to the slow start. I think you'd think, though, Drew, that this team will be a little bit better as the season goes along. There's too many good young players on this. And then you go to a game like yesterday, the first of a doubleheader, and bottom of the ninth inning, and Stallings hits one almost over the fence, a fan reaches out, and instead of a game-winning home run, they call him out for fan interference. And I'm thinking the Rockies have got to be saying to themselves, oh, my goodness, what else can go wrong right now?
Yeah, fortunately, as you guys know, they ended up winning in 10.
Yeah.
But that would have been so fitting for how things have gone thus far this year, really the last several years ago. Yeah, they thought they had a walk-off homer, and they ended up losing in extra innings. And I'm still looking at that, removing the bias, because I'm pretty objective. I don't know how New York determined that the fan interfered to the point where Dylan Moore was getting, he was a foot over his glove, and anyhow, fortunately it worked out. Feel bad for Jacob Stallings, but that was a weird one.
Yeah, I saw the same thing you did, Drew. It looked like that ball was clearly
for sure
well over the fence, and whoever it was and left didn't have much of a chance to make the play. Let's talk a little bit about today's matchup. Dylan Cease on the mound. He's going up against Austin Gomber. Gomber has, you know, the last couple years, he was a starter. Last year, they kind of experimented with him being in the bullpen a little bit, back in the rotation. What is it that he needs to do in order to stay in this rotation and give this team a chance to win?
Well, you know, right now we're so thin in terms of pitching, you'd have to be, I hate to say it, you'd really have to be struggling big time not to stay in the rotation. And to specific to Gomber, he's actually been very competitive in each of his outings. And, you know, Tony, you know, he's not overpowered. He's got a good curveball, you know, solid changeup. He doesn't throw his fastball a ton. He spots with it because, you know, he's really, you know, he's 89, 90, maybe he touches 91. He knows how to pitch. He's a really tough competitor. And he's been able to keep the Rockies in games. And look at his second half numbers a year ago. His final, I don't know what it was, 12 starts. Really pretty good. And, you know, that's kind of been the narrative with a lot of our starters this year. They keep you in games. We don't have a guy that's dominant.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby, San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Before we get too far into this, Scrabe, want to congratulate and thank Anthony out there. Great meeting him and the rest of his family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yesterday out at the ballpark, Anthony was the winner of our 97.3 The Fan sweepstakes.
Biggest fan.
He came out with his entire family. He got the 97.3 The Fan suite yesterday. And we were all there to enjoy the game with Anthony. So it was a lot of fun. It was good, good meeting him. Really nice bunch of people.
Seriously.
Really enjoyed that. And, that's twice for me in the suite this year because I was there for your Scraby Day in the suite.
Me too.
Padres are now 2-0 in suite games.
Every game I've been to this year, they've won. So I think I need to just keep going. Or we just need to keep going in the suite.
Until further notice. Yeah, not a bad idea.
Well, first off, can you move your camera down a little bit? You can watch us on YouTube if you haven't done so. Search 97.3 The Fan on YouTube. People say it's a lot different. I put out a video about something that happened in the parking garage showing up to the game.
Okay.
And I am being dragged on the internet right now for being a insensitive human being. And the video, you can go to my Twitter, at Matt Scraby, or Instagram. It's a person backing into a space in the MTS lot. And there were three cars around trying to get around this person, but it took them almost 2 minutes, Chris, to get into their spot.
Yeah, they don't care about you.
Exactly.
No,
that's
one of my biggest pet peeves, and I don't know why you're taking grief for this. We've talked about this already that, you know, you are wasting my time while you back into a parking space.
Yeah.
And I'm a little tired of you wasting my time.
Well, yeah.
If you want to back into a parking space, nobody's around, go right ahead.
Yes.
But if everybody's lined up, waiting to get into the lot,
everybody's filing in for a Padres game.
That's, you know, to me, that's just flat out rude to be backing into a spot. But I'm not surprised people do it. I'm also surprised, but I am surprised that people are being critical of you for mentioning it.
I think a lot of these people are not, they don't know me at all. They just somehow stumbled across the video on YouTube. But I will say this. In the MTS lot, I do understand why it's better to back in, because it's really difficult to get out of that garage once people are trying to leave. So that's something that you need to keep in mind. Oh, wow.
Tony Gwynn Jr., though,
I know,
is a guy that backs in to parking spaces. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
You are there.
Yes.
I am here.
What's going on?
So you probably disagree with our dissertation against awkward parkers.
You know, I will say, especially in the MTS lot, if people were, how should I say this? If people were nicer and let people who do need the back out get out of their spot, you would have less backwards parking. But because no one wants to let anybody out.
Yes, that is a problem.
You got to go have the front side ready to roll. You got to let them know you mean business. Because when you back out, right, you have to do it with caution. And they take advantage of your caution. They just pull up a little bit further. Now you got to wait till that car goes by. The next car does the same thing.
Yeah.
So.
No, you're right.
You got to go forward
in that
case. Just
be nice to each other out there. That's a dream that I will always have that will probably never become a full reality.
And I can back
me and you both.
That's another common misconception about this post. Oh, this is coming from a guy who's just jealous he can't back in. I might be one of the best backer inners in the world. So
No, I don't believe that at all. I believe that you're definitely not a good backer inner. And so, therefore, that adds to your animosity of the folks that can and do.
Can and do. Okay.
Fine. In other words, you're just a hater when it comes to backing into
the
parking
spot. Well, I think
we
can all agree on that.
Oh, here's a great comment on the YouTube. Got to hide that expired tag, though. Don't be snitching. That's right. You got to put your expired registration to the back so cops don't come by and ticket you.
Yes, that's also a good.
I don't know. Are cops looking for expired tags in the NTS lot during Padre games?
Sure. I mean, maybe it would be a great. It would be a great place to look, right? I mean, you can't go anywhere. The cars are there. They're all lined up. Not saying that they do or don't. I'm just saying it would be, if they needed to, wouldn't be a bad spot to start.
People want to back up off now. I think we need to make this happen at some point.
Wait, I want to back up off.
Yes,
between you and Tony?
Me, us three.
Us three?
Are you claiming that you're a good backer-upper?
I don't claim that I can back in.
Okay.
Because I don't ever back in.
Claim that I can back in.
Yes, we know you back in.
I'm sure this whole thing started.
This is how it all started many months ago. We have good news and bad news concerning Manny Machado. For you to pass along. I don't know if that's what you wanted to chat about, Tony, before we get to our interview with Drew Goodman. But
I know what you're going to say, so go ahead.
Yeah, the good news for Manny is they're having a baby. So yeah. Congratulations to Manny Machado on a family edition. I guess the news that goes along with that is that Manny is on the paternity list and is therefore not with the ball club. I'm assuming for this entire trip to Denver. Certainly won't be there tonight. Matthew Batten has been called up to take a spot on the roster. Correct?
Correct. Well,
yeah.
I don't know that it's been announced yet. Has it?
It has, yes. That's why.
Okay. The Padres tweeted it.
Yeah.
Boom. There it is. Well, I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to happen today, but congratulations to the Machados. Yanny had the baby yet, or is it just...
Not
he's
sure.
Left
it just says that infielder Manny Machado has been placed on the paternity list.
Okay, so we're gonna assume that she hasn't had it yet.
Yeah.
Pray for a good, healthy birth.
Healthy,
and,
yes.
And then he can get back when he's ready.
Right.
But the lineup is out. You guys want to hear the lineup?
Sure. Yes, because I don't have it. So let's see.
Let's do it. Xander Bogaerts. Fernando.
What? Xander Bogaerts leading off? What are they thinking?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Cameron Maybin told me I could boo him.
The three that normally are there are there. Bogaerts, Tatis, Cronenworth. Number four, Jerickson Profar will bat cleanup in tonight's game.
Okay.
That'll be followed by Ha-Sung Kim, Luis Camposano, Eggy, or E-Guy, however you choose. Rosario will bat after Camposano. Merrill, Azokar. So everybody basically slides up a spot, and you insert Zokar.
Yes, yeah, so Zokar will be what, in left field, and Profar will be DHing?
Correct. Okay. No, yes, that is correct. Yes.
All right, correct. So Manny is out of the lineup tonight now with the paternity list. All right, the Rockies, the way they're struggling, well, let us list the ways. 5-17, they've lost all seven series they've played. They've been shut out four times. They haven't homered in five games. They've scored three or fewer runs in six of their nine home games. On and on and on it can go, and yet, you know, if you're a Padre fan, you're worried about what's going to happen this week. We caught up with the play-by-play voice of the Rockies, Drew Goodman, to discuss the Rocks. Indeed, Padres and Rockies beginning a four-game set in Denver, Coors Field, and the voice of the Colorado Rockies, Drew Goodman, joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Drew, you know, I mean, look, I think, you know, listening to you, especially early this season on the app and watching some games, I feel for you. You're doing your thing. Team's just not playing anywhere near what I think you think they're capable of doing. How you holding out?
Well, personally, you know, and I'm not giving you a stock answer, and I'm sure you get this being in the business. Tony certainly gets it, you know, from playing and long time in broadcasting. You know, in life, you control what, you know, what you can control, and we're really fortunate to do what we do. And you know, there are years where you're not going to win a lot of games. Unfortunately, the Rockies are on a stretch where it's been a long time now, since 2018, but I still love going to the ballpark. I still love the art of broadcasting. I love the game of baseball. I'm fortunate, again, to have one of 30 jobs, so I look at it more that way. And, yeah, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say, shoot, I wish we won more right now, and I wish we were playing better out of the gate than we have, but it's still, you know, it's still fun. It could be a lot more fun, but it's still a great gig, and I'm not trying to just be gratuitous in that answer.
Drew, clearly, you know, a lot of things aren't going right for the ball club, but there are a few bright spots. Ezekiel Tovar seems to be kind of stepping, you know, his game up a little bit as a young player in this league. What has he done well so far here in the early going?
I'll tell you what, and I would mention this to you when I hook up with you later. This dude is getting more two-strike hits than virtually anybody I've seen this year, certainly. You know, he gets behind because he swings at everything. He has the highest swing rate in baseball. But he's amazing in that he never gets flustered. He's 22 years of age, and he acts like he's 72. I mean, he's just like, been there, done that, calm, cool, collected. So he gets an upside-down counts a lot, and then all of a sudden he rips the ball to left or to right center. So I've been really impressed with that. He's now hitting toward the top of the lineup. He's in the two-hole tonight. And defensively, he's really good. I mean, he's definitely a building block. He's a winning player. We, you know, as an organization, you know, the Rockies certainly need more guys to compliment him, but he's been terrific.
Rockies are indeed off to the slow start. I think you'd think, though, Drew, that this team will be a little bit better as the season goes along. There's too many good young players on this. And then you go to a game like yesterday, the first of a doubleheader, and bottom of the ninth inning, and Stallings hits one almost over the fence. A fan reaches out, and instead of a game-winning home run, they call him out for fan interference. And I'm thinking the Rockies have got to be saying to themselves, oh, my goodness, what else can go wrong right now?
Yeah, fortunately, as you guys know, they ended up winning in 10.
Yeah.
But that would have been so fitting for how things have gone thus far this year, really the last several years ago. Yeah, they thought they had a walk-off homer, and they ended up losing in extra innings. And I'm still looking at that, removing the bias, because I'm pretty objective. I don't know how New York determined that the fan interfered to the point where Dylan Moore was getting, he was a foot over his glove, and anyhow, fortunately it worked out. Feel bad for Jacob Stallings, but that was a weird one.
Yeah, I saw the same thing you did, Drew. It looked like that ball was clearly
for sure
well over the fence, and whoever it was in left didn't have much of a chance to make the play.
Let's talk a little bit about today's matchup. Dylan Cease on the mound. He's going up against Austin Gomber. Gomber has, you know, the last couple years, he was a starter. Last year, they kind of experimented with him being in the bullpen a little bit, back in the rotation. What is it that he needs to do in order to stay in this rotation and give this team a chance to win?
Well, you know, right now we're so thin in terms of pitching, you'd have to be, I hate to say it, you'd really have to be struggling big time not to stay in the rotation. And to specific to Gomber, he's actually been very competitive in each of his outings. And, you know, Tony, you know, he's not overpowered. He's got a good curveball, you know, solid changeup. He doesn't throw his fastball a ton. He spots with it because, you know, he's really, you know, he's 89, 90, maybe he touches 91. He knows how to pitch. He's a really tough competitor. And he's been able to keep the Rockies in games. And look at his second half numbers a year ago. His final, I don't know what it was, 12 starts, really pretty good. And, you know, that's kind of been the narrative with a lot of our starters this year. They keep you in games. We don't have a guy that's dominant, certainly. The problem on the other side is the Rockies haven't scored runs, which, you know, years ago, certainly when you were playing, Tony, wasn't an issue. You just assumed the Rockies were going to score runs. That has not been the case, though.
Yeah, that's been the real surprise. I know coming into the game tonight, I believe 6 of the 9 games that they played in Denver, the Rockies have scored 3 runs or fewer. That's very surprising. Drew Goodman is our guest, the voice of the Colorado Rockies. Drew, 2 of my all-time favorite people are connected to the Rockies organization. One of them is still there. One of them isn't. I want to ask you how Bud Black's doing, our old Aztec friend. And, you know, we all just think the world of him. I know the San Diego fans do. And the second is, how proud of you are you of Jenny Kavner, who worked with you for so long and is now blazing trails with the Oakland Athletics?
Well, Chris, I'll work backwards. I'll answer your second part two of your question first. I'm thrilled for Jenny. It's so well-deserved. As you know, first and foremost, she's just an awesome person. And she's busted her tail and worked really hard at the craft. Grew up in a baseball family, as you guys know, and I'm thrilled for it that she's gotten this opportunity. I know she's going to run with it. She's a really talented person in a lot of different areas of broadcasting, and it was well deserved. And so it's fun to watch from afar and to check in with her periodically. The funny thing is, in a couple weeks, we go out to Oakland, and her little boy is graduating, I believe, from kindergarten. So she can't do that series, which she's so bummed about, naturally. Oh. But she's doing great, and I'm thrilled for her. Part one of your question, here's the deal, right? You guys know this. If you meet somebody who goes, yeah, I know Buddy Black a little bit, and not my cup of tea, don't like him, then you pretty much know that that individual's a jackass, right? I mean, let's sum it up. I mean, there's not a nicer human being and, you know, a funnier guy, witty, sharp, old-school baseball guy, and he remains so positive and optimistic, even though, you know, inside, you guys know him well. It's tearing him up to be in this situation right now and what it's been the last couple of years, but he's the absolute best.
Yes, he is. Drew Goodman, one of the best as well. Last thing, Drew, the Padres come in there. You know, they need wins, et cetera. Rockies can't be worrying about what the Padres need. But this has been a pretty good, you know, contested series the last several years. No matter where the teams are in the standings, the Rockies give the Padres a problem there.
Yeah. I'll say this, and I'm not, you guys know me, I'm not just saying this because I'm on your show in San Diego. I love watching the Padres, and I from afar, I was disappointed last year, not as much as you guys, but, you know, so much talent, and I really thought, you know, it was going to be a great year for San Diego. And now I know, you know, Soto's gone, and you know, the guy who won the Cy Young is gone, but I root when you guys don't play the Rockies. I root for you. I mean, I really do, because it's a similar market, and I think you guys are fun to watch with Tatis. I've always been a Machado fan because he posts up every day. Who doesn't love Jake Cronenworth, Ha-Sung Kim? So I really enjoy watching you guys. And as I drive in right now, I'm pumped for the series because you know, you want it to be competitive, and I enjoy again watching, you know, how the Padres go about their business.
Well, Drew, we appreciate the time as always. Great catching up with you. You'll hook up with Tony in a little bit. We'll enjoy from afar. And best of luck. Just hoping that after the Padres leave town, the season starts to get turned around a little bit.
You know what? I hope so. I mean, I do think that it would be hard to play. I hate putting it this way. It'd really be hard to play any poor, especially offensively. So, you know, Rockies need to get Nolan Jones going and a couple other guys. And I think they'll pick it up. They're not a playoff team, clearly. No one expected that. But I did think there'd be some incremental improvement from last year. And there's still a ton of season left for that to occur. So that's what I'm banking on.
We appreciate it, Drew. Thank you.
Perfect, Drew. Thanks.
All right, guys. You take care. We'll see Chris, see you soon, and Tony, see you in a bit.
Sounds good.
Outstanding. Thanks, Drew, for everything, and have a good call tonight.
Drew Goodman, right there, voice of the Colorado Rockies.
He truly is a really good play-by-play guy. And he has to do it under difficult circumstances.
Yeah, he really,
because his team's usually down 10-0 in the third inning, and he's still trying to make it interesting.
I like his outlook, though. Like, he does have an amazing job, and
that's
it's
right.
Not easy to have that outlook where he's at.
Got to remind yourself.
Yeah.
Got to definitely remind yourself. We got Tony and Jesse on our call at 5:30 today. Sammy on the pregame show at 4:30. But a lot of Gwen and Chris until then, including the Daily Gambit. So come on back with us.